Hello and welcome to Witchy Wellness Radio. I'm your host, Lauren Chalantani, women's holistic health coach and fellow recovering perfectionist. This podcast was created to show you that your body is not in the way. It is actually leading your way. Hello, Witchy Wellness listeners. This is your host again, Lauren, and you are tuning in to episode 94, Sense What Your Body Needs with Esther Cohen. Before we jump to today's episode, I wanted to tell you guys about two very exciting things. First of all, an invitation to upcoming Intro to Essential Oils class with my team. Whether you guys are curious about doTERRA oils and how they can help in your health and wellness in your home, or maybe you just want a refresh on how to use the bottles you already have, then you guys will love this class. Our classes run on Mondays, 2 p.m. or 8 p.m. Eastern for 1 hour, and we like to keep them around 10 people. This is a perfect size, so you can ask as many questions and get the best information as you want. So click on the link in the show notes to fill out the form to schedule your spot in the next class ASAP. And secondly, Witchy Wellness is sponsored by Living the Good Life Magnesium. If you guys want to hear more about the benefits behind magnesium, listen to episode 73 with the founder of Living the Good Life Naturally, Kristen Bowen. But if you guys are interested in purchasing magnesium, head over to the show notes and make sure when you check out to use code WITCHY, W-I-C-T-H-Y, to get 10% off of your order. So back to today's episode 94 with Esther Cohen. What if food could be a cure rather than the culprit? Food allergies, digestive issues, systemic imbalances are part of the ever-shifting inner landscape that is largely neglected in modern medicines, and not only that, oversimplified and in fad diets. Esther's mission is simple: to give you the tools you need to heal yourself or stay healthy and to live the life your soul longs to live. She has over 30 years of experience helping thousands of clients understand how the consciousness held in the body and organs influences physical, mental, and emotional symptoms. In this episode, you will hear Esther's backstory and how she got to do the work that she does today, and how to go beyond classical thinking about food and sense what your body truly needs, the alchemy of nourishment, the mind-body connection, how physical symptoms have emotional or metaphysical root cause, the relationship between nourishment and healing, the benefits of eating seasonally, and so much more. I know you guys are going to really want to sink your teeth into this episode, pardon the pun. But without further ado, please enjoy episode 94, Sense What Your Body Needs with Esther Cohen. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Witchy Wellness Radio. And again, I'm your host, Lauren Chalantani. And this is a show you learn that your body is not in your way, but actually leading your way. And our amazing guest, Esther Cohen, is here to talk all about how it's leading the way. She's a functional nutrition therapist, herbalist, author of The Alchemy of Nourishment, The Art, Science, and the Magic of Eating. And we're here to talk about how to go beyond classical thinking about food and sense what your body needs. A little bit more on Esther before we jump in is she's been on a lifelong journey about what it really means for people to be nourished and our personal connection to food. She has over 35 years of experience about the art, science, and magic of eating and is a pioneer in the field of psychology of eating. I'm so excited and happy to have you on the show. Welcome, Esther.
Thank you. It's a joy and honor to be here.
Yeah. And I'm excited to go, you know, any which direction. We were talking off air. It's like, how woo do we want again? I said, let's go all the way. Maybe not woo, but you know, the psychology behind these symptoms or nourishment can mean very broad spectrum, as you were talking to me before. And I would love to hear like how, you know, I love hearing people's own hero's journeys of how we ended up here, because at least for me and so many others, it's our own healing journeys that kind of led us to the path to help others where we are today. So could you enlighten us how you kind of gathered this wealth of knowledge and experience and wisdom?
Well, like like so many, it wasn't a choice. It wasn't that I said, oh, I really want that. But in my own childhood, I grew up in the Deep South during the time of the Civil Rights Movement. And my family, I was the youngest by 10 years of my siblings. And so my parents were old, especially at that time. And I didn't fit in. And I had a lot of physical issues, like a lot of sinus conditions and sore throats and on. And in that day, ended up with a lot of penicillin, which of course I know now is kind of insult to injury. And so very young, I started to kind of prepare my own food and take care of myself. I had this sense of, if anyone's going to do it, I've got to do it. And I think that was also at the beginning of the onslaught of eating disorders. And so, of course, my body became my enemy. And I would try every fad diet that came out. You know, I remember drinking apple cider vinegar like 4 times a day and then absolutely, you know, being incredibly ill for weeks and going on the broccoli diet. And, you know, broccoli is a cruciferous vegetable and it's a sulfur vegetable. So after about a week of eating broccoli, you know, I began to smell and my friends are like, what's that smell? And so I really had a lot of, self-confidence issues that were very much wrapped up in my whole physical manifestation of those distortions. And, I became really kind of desperate. Very young, I became a vegetarian at 14, and I just felt like I was going to need to find out what was really going on for me, or I would either kind of go crazy or commit suicide. I mean, it was not an easy period of my life, and that sent me on my journey to like what nourishes. And I think I found out, you know, what doesn't fit, where I went to 4 different colleges, I moved across the country, I joined a cult, I went through every kind of eating fad of the time, whether it was vegetarianism or, you know, no dairy or whatever it was, that, you know, South Beach diet, trying to find myself and trying to heal myself, trying to, you know, I knew that at the core of what was going on, that it was me, that it wasn't my external environment, that wherever I moved, I went with me. And so therefore I had to do something about me and the patterns that I had, you know, in my personality, which I'll say that I started to, you know, explore metaphysics. I, you know, became and went through different practices and, you know, from, oh gosh, so many different spiritual practices at the time. And I just really began to kind of understand that, oh, it's really about having my own center. You know, what is my essence rather than what do I experience externally? What can I bring? Because I found so many distortions in all of the different, you know, there was wonderful things, and yet there was always something that was kind of what I'll say are human faults, you know, of competition or ego that distorted kind of the beautiful messages that were there. And so that's what sent me on my path to what nourishes. And I always found my salvation in the natural world. I was a huge backpacker. So I would go by myself on solos for, you know, 3 weeks to a month in the mountains. And there I began to really connect with my own strength and courage and desire. And so that was really my teacher. And that's what I bring to what I do, is to support others to connect to that.
That's beautiful. I think a lot of that's how I got to doing the work I do today too. It's, you know, trying everything, eating everything. I was really into working out every day, and, you know, I couldn't have, it was like gluten-free, vegan, like everything, you know. I think it's orthorexia is the eating disorder where it's, you know, over, it has to be healthy. But I realized, you know, it was an internal problem, and I was seeking these external solutions for this internal problem. And I'm amazed how instantaneous, but also how beautiful our body's feedback really is. And, you know, am I a beacon of health all the time now? No, but my body's telling me, like, hey, maybe you're a little too stressed out. Maybe you drink more water. Maybe you need to deal with that emotional issue, or, you know, energy's blocked somewhere in here. And it's just this constant peeling of this onion, as I kind of feel. There's never like, I know myself and love myself, and this is the end goal, and I'm don't need to do any more work. Because I think people, at least myself, as this perfectionist getting into all of this, it's like, if I eat completely healthy, if I move my body, and if I meditate enough, you know, meditate to win, not to like meditate to just be, and right, everything will be fine. My life will be fine. There'll be no change. There'll be no struggle, you know. But it's like this perspective shift. And it's, for me, it was like learning that I'm shifting out of that fight or flight and into the rest and restore, and knowing intuitively how to feed my body, you know, and also how to move my body, whether it's physically or energetically or emotionally. And I would love to hear, you know, more about how to go beyond that classical thinking of, you know, those fad diets or the veganism. I still eat plant-based and I eat intuitively. Maybe like once or twice a year, I might have a bite of fish, but intuitively my body's like, I'm fine. But, you know, how can we tune into that sense of what our bodies really need?
I love that question, because so many people come to me and they say, you know, I read this and I read the paleo diet and now I want to do the keto diet. And we don't eat with our heads. We eat with our gut. And I like to think of it as we have three brains. We have our intuitive brain, our gut brain, which is the enteric nervous system. And then we have our heart brain, which is our feeling center. And then we have our intellectual brain, or our analytical understanding. And our head brain is our slowest brain, right? We really have that instinctual knowing, you know, in our gut. And then it moves to our heart. And so I really like to think of my work as embodiment. You know, I think especially when I grew up, but it's true now, that we're all searching for this enlightenment, this sense of moving up and out. You know, if I can just get out of this physical body. And, you know, over the years, I really began to totally appreciate the physical body. Like, we are a human manifestation, you know, and we use about, what, 10% of our capacity. And so to me, that's really exciting and fascinating, and where the mystery lies. And so all of these diets, I don't want to say they're good or bad. I mean, people become card-carrying fanatics about diet the same way we are about political our affiliation, right? And, you know, mine is good. And I think that diet, it really just means way of life. And every species on this planet has a very specific diet. Like, you don't meet a deer that says, hey, you know, today I'm going to eat pickles. You know, and so we are the only species on the planet, except for cats and dogs, that eat kind of outside of, you know, what's in our environment naturally, and have that capacity to choose. And so I like to think of different diets as, you know, they're more fluid. They're more temporary, like they're for a particular stage or particular emotional wave that you're moving through in your life. And it may be a perfect diet, but to really start to kind of just explore body sense is what I call it. Like, oh, I really craved oatmeal for breakfast. And then, you know, all the information comes in, well, I shouldn't be eating carbohydrate and, you know, blah, de blah. And, but the body has its own intuitive wisdom. And, you know, so I like to look at it as the four directions. So I kind of took my spiritual practice and then overlaid it onto my work. And so looking at my choices from those four directions. So the East is more intellectual, it's more science, it's knowledge, it's kind of that new thought, right? And so am I choosing my breakfast because I think that a carbohydrate would not be good, or am I choosing my breakfast from the South because, it's just comfort food. It's food from the heart and it's warming. Or am I choosing my breakfast from the West, which is my instinct and my intuition and that mystery, you know, that letting go? Or am I choosing it from the North, which would be my particular heredity? You know, if I'm, you know, so many of us, you know, eat so much coconut and coconut products now. And most of us don't come from a tropical heritage at all. I mean, I know I'm Northern European, so it's not really in my DNA. And not that it's a bad food or a good food. It's just like, is that going to be the basis of my diet? So trying to give it a much broader orientation. And curious why I eat what I eat. And sometimes you're eating just because, oh, I remember when I was pregnant and I was in a spiritual community. I had a very, very specific diet and very regimented. And we did not eat meat. We didn't, you know, eat fried foods, anything like that. And I was pregnant and I went off to work and I was way out in a rural community working with the Hispanic population, which was really wonderful because I got to work with all the pregnant women when I was pregnant. And I went out with a friend of mine to a truck stop for lunch, which was pretty unheard of in my, you know, I was breaking all the rules, and they had fried chicken. Well, I grew up on fried chicken from the South, and I probably hadn't had it in, I don't know, 10 years or whatever at that point. And I could not help myself. I went crazy eating the fried chicken, and it brought up all of these memories of the nanny who had raised me, I needed that comfort. And I had no problem digesting that food. And I could have told you it was, you know, really high in fat and greasy, and it was wonderful. And sometimes we just need that. We need to listen to our inner wisdom. And before it manifests as a huge symptom.
I totally agree. I was just thinking, I craved certain like pasta dishes, although I look very Northern European too. My family is Italian, and you know, I will make healthy, you know, I'll make like dairy-free, gluten-free version, but I'll still have a bite occasionally. We go out to a restaurant and a really authentic, nice Italian dish, like fettuccine Alfredo. Oof, that just, you can't say no to that.
No, you're like, you're eating that love of your heritage. Yeah. And, yeah. You know, also that's the Mediterranean diet. So who's going to say that that wisdom was wrong? I mean, we're eating so much more than the ingredients.
Mm-hmm. And I will say, like during my menstrual cycle, I will crave beets because they're high in iron. I don't crave meat. I have eaten meat. I've been vegetarian since I was about 14 too. And I've had meat every, like probably two or three times in the past 20 years, but it's because I wanted it. I was like, all right, this like probably menstrually related, you know, listen to your body, especially as women, you know, we cycle, and each cycle I eat differently at different points in my cycle for different reasons. And it's just interesting the more you tune into that. And I love your directions and how that kind of can cue you into where your energy is at, where your body is at, what it's telling you it needs. And you kind of alluded to it, the last part of it, you know, before these symptoms start become a symptom of a greater issue. So I would love to like start to talk about the relationship between, you know, nourishment and healing and this, the almost the psychology, but the metaphysical symptoms behind some of these bigger issues that can come up if they're not addressed and really just loved.
Well, that's really the heart and soul of my work. And, you know, every organ in the body, every aspect of the body has a consciousness. In Western medicine, we've kind of diluted it down to its function. But our liver, you know, has a consciousness that influences and informs its physical function, right? And the Chinese have known this for 5,000 years. It's how Chinese medicine is really oriented. And so I really look at, well, where is the symptom expressing itself? You know, is it in the small intestine? Is it in the large intestine? They're very different. You know, is it in the stomach? And the consciousness understanding of that organ, like our stomach is a receptive organ, right? It just takes in from outside of ourselves. It's the first place and the only place that we really receive outside of ourselves. And it has this really strong acid in it, right? In order to kill bacteria, to it's an organ of protection. So that when you take in, first of all, it's going to go, ooh, you know, do we want to keep this in the body or is it too much? Am I going to throw it back up? Is it poison and am I going to get rid of it? So it's really defensive, right? And that's its job. And it can handle a lot of stuff. You know, we're designed that way. And that if it's not going to work, we're going to throw it back up. So I like to look at it physiologically as well as what I call energetically. You know, you have a difficult conversation. Things are really heated. Can you stomach it? It's in our language. You know, or do you close down? Does part of you go, no, I'm not going to take it in? And you come away from that conversation and you notice you've got a stomach ache. And it's starting to bring that kind of awareness to the symptoms. I believe that the symptom, that everything is made up of vibration, and that our pattern exists vibrationally, and it's so over so many years and so much time, it starts to concretize in the body. So if you have a pattern, and I'll just stay with the stomach, of as a little child, it was really important and intelligent to, you know, protect yourself from the environment you were in. Maybe you were bullied. Maybe, you know, your parents weren't, you know, of the best nature, and you had to protect yourself. So you become very stomachy, very defended. Right. And then we'll notice as you become a young adult, or maybe even started as a young child, that you start to have heartburn or ulcers because the stomach is overworking and not able to break down the issue. So as I like to call it that voice behind the symptoms, like, what is your body trying to let you know, to inform you about? And so then we get to explore that, how that pattern exists for you, so that we can unravel the pattern. And the body's natural orientation is to be strong, to be healed. And so it starts to heal. It's amazing what can happen. And you don't need to be on this restrictive diet, because even when you say the word restriction, your whole body kind of cringes, right? And we're just, you want to bring that breath, that fluidity into the system. So it's that sense of dropping into yourself, dropping into your stomach, dropping into your bones, and discovering, how am I feeling right now? And not judging it, that I should feel this way or that way. It's just, that's what I'm feeling. Does it need more attention? Does it need to be brought in? Am I too outside of myself? So it's really key to kind of understand what's the habitual pattern that your body's wisdom developed, maybe as a one-year-old, and how are you still holding that now, that active memory, so that when something happens in your external world, that one-year-old is actually responding and we're not aware of that. And to bring awareness to that so that you can start to let go of that patterned response. And it allows the tissues to heal.
Yeah, well, I will say, I've talked about this a few times on the show. In a previous life, as I say, in a previous relationship, I had constant UTIs and yeast infections. I've never had a problem with either of those in my life. And I went on a restrictive diet. I, you know, tried to get out all the yeast and took all the herbs and juiced and everything. But it was literally my body telling me to get the you-know-what out of there. And so many other things that were unraveled up in that. But I kid you not, you know, within 2 weeks, my body was healing after that, after leaving. And it's been years and years since then. Haven't had an issue at all.
Oh, my gosh. I love that you say that, because it's so absolutely true. UTIs... have to do with control or feeling out of control. Mm-hmm. And so many women, I love that you share that. So many women have UTIs, and it's because their relationships, because they're, you know, vulnerable or being sexual and expressive, and with someone that's really not resonant with us. And that's our body's way of saying, no, I'm going to prevent this. And so it's beautiful. It almost never has anything to do with the food you're eating.
Oh, I know. I know. I was eating as clean as I ever was in my life. You know, no sugar, you know, da, da, da.
Yeah.
And I was working out every day too. And I might on the outside look very fit, but on the inside, you know, you can feel, you know, you're just obviously the normal symptoms of UTI we don't like, but just you feel something's off, you know, your skin's crawling, or, you know, you might emotionally, you know, might be angry or whatever. You have a wealth of knowledge of what your body feels like. You know, you're the one living in this body all day. And I think it's a Dr. Christian Northrup quote. It's like the doctors have a wealth of knowledge, or knowledge about your body, but you have, oh crap, I messed it up. What is the quote? You have the knowledge of your own. Anyway, basically, you're the one living in your body. You know when something's off and when something doesn't feel right. And it's so key. And the more I tune into that, you know, my body still sends me signals all the time. Like digestively, since I was a little kid, it's something that I've always had to work through, is I absorb my environment and other people's energy. And I'm one of those people pleasing, you know, not anymore, but I have to learn to keep my boundaries and not absorb other people's reactions or emotions or behaviors, because I can't control that. So digestively, I would always be prone to constipation growing up, no matter what I ate. I know, since I'm sharing all these are just examples for people to know, because I work through so many things. And now when I am absorbing or stressing out about similar behaviors or patterns with the people that I was working through, whether it's my family or other people in my life, that can come up again. And it's just kind of like, okay, hey, a little knock on that door. What's going on here? You know? So it's just, I want to like pound this into everybody, because when I was going through the UTI mess, I was literally yelling internally at my body. And that's one of the reasons why I started the show. I was a health coach at the time, but you know, the spiritual metaphysical part wasn't really connecting. This was a big lesson for me. And I want you guys to know that your body is not in the way. It's truly leading your way, just like anything in life. Life is not happening to you. It's for you. And I have ups and downs, but I always have to bring myself back to that. What am I needing to learn? What am I needing to let go of? Where's that growth? And Esther, it's so beautiful. You incorporate this into helping people, walk them through this to uncover this, because it's this type of nourishment is, you know, obviously not mainstream, but people, it's scary to start to unravel these things. A lot of stuff, you know, like you said, have been in there, you know, since we were little kids. And sometimes that energy can be very, very stagnant, and it can feel like a freight train when you start unraveling that.
It's so true. And there are so many really poignant points that you brought up there, because the main one is that we've lost agency over our own health, that we go and we go to seek help. We go to a doctor and we say, what's wrong? And we want this diagnosis. And then it's like, oh, okay. No matter how bad that diagnosis is. And we're so designed to be able to like have agency and heal ourselves. If we're willing to like unravel that mystery. And it, you know, it was beautiful that you said, yeah, you were so angry. Of course you were. You were inflamed. You know, your bladder was inflamed, and the bladder is like holding the reservoir of all this metabolic toxins, of all the toxic experience of the relationship that you'd been having, right? And I don't want to, you know, that's not good or bad. It's just, oh, okay, what does that tell me? And I mean, I hope you don't mind this, but what you said about absorbing, you know, I look at that as the small intestine, right? Because that's our organ of assimilation. That's the small intestine is constantly sorting. This is nourishing. This is not nourishing. This is good. This is bad. It's a very black and white fire organ, we'll say. And you know, so many people now that I see have what's called what SIBO, small intestine bacterial overgrowth. And what is that telling you? That there's too much conflict over, you know, over your choices. Will it be good enough? Will it not be good enough? Should I? No, maybe, yes, I don't know. You know, so we've not developed this sense of self-boundary. Like, no, that's not okay for me. And yeah, that is. And I'm going to let it go down to the large intestine because it was an experience that was once useful, but now it's not. I got all the usefulness out of it. And I'm going to let it go, which is what the large intestine does. And if we start to really explore the wisdom that we have inherently in our makeup, which is just magical and phenomenal, then we can start to shift these patterns, you know, really spontaneously, that we have that much capacity. And we know. So your story is this beautiful example of that. You know, maybe this isn't the relationship for me.
Yeah.
And that's hard to look at sometimes, you know, like, cause we get very, you know, attached and identified for so many different reasons. But if we give ourselves some spaciousness to go, oh, okay. Yeah. Well, that does reflect, you know, this, I feel like I need control because I didn't have control and I picked a controlling partner and like, oh, that makes sense.
Yeah, I definitely. I mean, I will say, you know, even after post relationship, I knew I had to still take responsibility for those patterns that led me into that, you know, just because those symptoms were gone. I also acknowledge, yes, you know, I was the one who created that experience in a way. You know, I had those patterns that I was attracted to that relationship. What are those? And so it wasn't like, oh, I left, everything's good. You know, it's really diving deeper into that root of that issue because I was just life or myself continually like bringing something into my forefront of, okay, she didn't listen that time. What about this? You know, is this something she's going to learn from this one? Or about this one, you know, and not in a negative sense, but I just think, you know, my personal belief and so many other nuggets I've gleaned from that experience was, you know, we're all here to grow. We're all here. You know, I believe that we reincarnated into this life, this experience, this family, this time period to where we left off last time. And so we set ourselves up for these experiences so we can learn these deeper, not to say issues, we can grow in these different areas or, you know, learn, I don't, basically learn how to love in a different way is at the end of the day. I don't want to think people to feel like it's, oh, I got to grow and I got to let go of this. It's going to be hard. And it's, you know, but really it's just learning how to let go and surrender and just be present and love. I mean, I know those words are very ambiguous and I don't, it's simpler than we think. We so often complicate things.
Oh, that's so true. What it, you know, that's a beautiful way to really express it because I think of it as we have this incredible tapestry, like this beautiful quilt of experience. And I agree with you. I also hold that cosmology that, you know, we have lifetimes of experience so that, you know, often when you say, well, I've got to learn this, people, that sounds kind of like, you know, like a negative kind of thing, like I've done something wrong and I've got to learn it. But it's more, that's why I use this analogy. It's more like we're weaving this incredible quilt or flower of life, however you look at it. And so we get to know both sides of an experience, you know, the good and the bad, so to speak, that we live in a world of duality. And so how do we interweave that experience so that we have a greater, you know, blanket to move from, to express from. And we do bring in ancestral patterns. You know, I see so many, well, in myself, but in all my clients, you know, this is a matrilineal pattern that goes back 4 or 5 generations of being, you know, held down or being, you know, diminished in some sort of way. And so we, you know, I like to think of it as, wow, I have the opportunity to shift this perspective, to shift this belief, to shift this pattern. You know, I years ago read Bruce Lipton's Biology of Belief, and I was like so excited because I was like, yes, this makes absolute sense. And that we can start to go, oh, that's a belief pattern, you know, rather than this concretized truth, and start to like give it space. And you know, approach it with this kind of curiosity of exploration rather than identifying with it as who I am. And we get to heal on so many levels in such a quicker way. I mean, that's a strange way to put it. But I mean, just the other day, I had a client who was calling, you know, she'd been into the hospital, her kidneys were hurting, and on and on. They didn't know what to do. They were going to do all these tests, you know, fluid was pooling in a kidney. And I just said to this client, well, you just went through this breakup with a man that, you know, you thought you were going to perhaps live with, and now he's living with another woman, and your kidneys hold the essence of who you are. And it holds that deep creativity and sensuality and sexuality. That's our kidneys. They hold our life force. And as she started talking, she was like, that was so not the relationship for me. I was not expressing who I was, and I was letting go of my sensual, sexual self and settling. And she called me 3 days later and said, I don't have any kidney pain anymore. And I was like, oh my God, you know, well done, because she did the work. And, you know, I think this is something that, you know, we should know as children, you know, as part of our education, so that we can start to go, oh, what's happening here? How am I diminishing who I am? And, you know, and so that's why I like to think, because when you tell somebody, oh, you know, well, you're responsible, everybody starts to go, oh, be very offended. And, you know, I don't need to learn anything else. But it's like, think of it as like just growing yourself, you know, and growing that fabric of possibility and potential. And, you know, and now she's like, well, I am going to find a different man. I'm not going to settle. And she's an older woman. And I love that. You know, she's like, yeah, I want to be sensual and in my body. I don't want to settle. And I'm like, yeah, go you. You know, that we can bring this kind of vibrancy to our life, no matter where we're at.
And I was going to ask, and I would love to hear like how you explain this. We've kind of given wide range of symptoms and like what you do and, you know, how the body holds this kind of metaphysical signal or message for people. People who want to possibly work with you, I know it's going to be very generalized. How would you know you might need to work with you, or, you know, what kind of people, what kind of symptoms, if you will, could benefit from this?
Yeah, that's a big question.
Everyone,
really. that's why I'd you know, want to teach in a bigger platform, because I think that as we start to really learn that our body, you know, offers such a beautiful roadmap or architecture, and we start to understand the consciousness that's held there, then we can become more curious and go, oh, I hurt my elbow. What's my elbow about? You know, is it about having flexibility and that to be able to reach out and bring towards me what I want? You know, as we start to bring this type of awareness of our physiology as just an expression of our, you know, our spirit. And give it credit, you know, is my neck hurting? You know, where does that symptom land? And for years, I've gotten clients who have kind of, you know, they've gone to Western medicine and they're not getting results, right? And they've taken everything out of their diet possible. So they're living on, you know, this very restricted mono diet. And, you know, they're not happy. And it's how are we going to, you know, infuse joy and expression and creativity back into your being in spirit? And how do we do that with food? Since I look at everything as food, you know, what kind of relationship's going to bring that in? What movie are you going to listen to? What are you doing to really connect back to the earth and feel yourself, you know, cohered, that all of these, you know, restrictions only cause more constriction and then ultimately lead to inflammation. And so how are we going to start to tease that out? And so connecting to my website, you know, whether it's for personal work or I'm doing this incredible work now, a platform with Dragonfly Wellness. And so it's an opportunity to, I do, the word almost makes me hesitant, but these four times a year restorations or cleanses, right? And what's so unique about them is they are really through food. And they're all different kinds of foods. In the winter, we're using broththing as the basis. In the summer, we'll use raw foods and juicing. And in the spring and fall, they're completely different orientations. And they're not vegan or vegetarian. They're incorporating everything to meet you where you're at. But they're really guided to give you this sense of, oh, wow, that feels good and that doesn't. And wow, maybe I was missing this. You know, so we take these, kind of clean up the whole palate and give you an opportunity to have a fresh body to experience. Yeah, you know, I do like that. You know, I thought I didn't work well with eggs, but it really wasn't the eggs. It was this other stuff. And I love eggs, you know, like whatever it is, or we give that energetic quality. This is one of my favorites, that so many people have come in over the years and said, you know, I don't eat red meat, and I only eat white chicken meat. Right. And I'm like, that's really interesting. I have chickens. I love my chickens. But if you sit with the girls for any period of time, you'll notice that chickens have a very up and neurotic energy. You know, they're a bird that doesn't really fly. And so then you start to think, well, God, take the skin off, take everything off and only eat the white meat. It's very constricted. It's very tight. It brings your energy in and up. And does that really prevent heart disease? I'm not convinced of that at all. But it's a certain kind of energy. And I'll notice that person tends to be more anxious, that their energy moves in and up, that they worry a lot more, that they, you know, they just feel unsettled in their body. And it's like, well, you would actually do well by eating a cow or eating some lamb. It's a really different, it's more dense, it's down, it's in, it's slower, it's stronger. And so trying to really inform those qualities that we eat, rather than just breaking it down into the nutrients, You know, what are those nutrients? What are the qualities in the energetic experience that we're eating? And how does that inform us? And it's amazing. I mean, a few simple changes like that, and they're like, oh, I can settle now. I can have a place to land in my body to work through the question or the experience that I'm grappling with right now. And before, you know, I eat bananas and white meat, and so that everything moves up and out. I eat a white diet. And so it's starting to look at it from this kind of greater perspective and see what that influence has on us.
In real life. Yeah, you'll be amazed, I'm sure.
And it's fun.
Yeah, it's fun. It's fun. And I love how you organize that and seasonally, because for me, that's really cool to do, you know, joining a local CSA, community sustainable agriculture, or going to a farmer's market, food that's grown in your area. Not only is it better for the environment, but like your body, for in my experience, feels a lot better and in tune with the season and where you live when you're eating mostly seasonal foods that are naturally grown where you are. It's just really cool to me, and it amazes me. And I love connecting to that, because we don't live in nature. We are a part of nature. I don't think we realize that a lot of the time.
No, it's because they took us, we've become so out of nature.
Yeah. Oh yeah. So disconnected. Yeah. And I don't know if anybody here tracks their menstrual cycle and the moon cycle, but I know I do. And we should be syncing with either the full moon or the new moon, either ovulating or menstruating. I'm the opposite. I always bleed on a full moon rather than a new moon, which it's perfect for where I am in my life, because metaphysically, that traditionally women are, you know, the wisdom keepers or the teachers who are like growing and want to share this with other people. And the opposite of that, or is a more mothering, nurturing, you know, that kind of aspect of femininity. And, you know, that's where I am in my life right now. And I know that, you know, in a few years that might change when I do decide to have children. I will be really interested to see if my menstrual cycle will switch to that. But anyway, most women don't have that cycle, especially if they're on the pill, because the light, our natural light, and I have a light on right here, it's artificial. Our circadian rhythm, I think it's circadian rhythm that balances out your menstrual cycle too. We're supposed to sync up with the new moon and the full moon. A lot of women don't, because artificial light and other environmental factors of just modern living has completely whacked us out of the natural cycle that, you know, it amazes me. Our periods, our menstruation itself, and like the moon and how that affects the tides in our body. Ugh, so cool. It's a blessing. Yeah. It's a blessing.
It is a blessing, and it's so, I'm so kind of just excited hearing you, because you bring that wisdom.
Yeah, thank you. And that
it's so ancient, you know, that, and we've lost that rhythm. It actually comes in through our pineal gland.
Yeah.
And our pineal gland informs our pituitary gland, and our pituitary holds our sacred feminine and our sacred masculine. Mm-hmm. Energies. And we've lost that rhythm. You know, we've artificially covered it up with, like you said, you know, whether we're on the pill or, you know, artificial lighting, you know, kind of everything.
Yeah.
And so that's what these seasonal cleanses are about. They're about detoxifying the system. Mm-hmm. And not just the foods, but the energetic vibration, so that your cycle does become more naturally succinct to your rhythm. And it will change as you become a mother, and it will change when you go through menopause. And it's a very qualitative change of energy that's beautiful, mm-hmm. that for whatever reasons we've become to demonize in our culture. And so many people want to shift their menopause and go on, you know, hormones and artificial stimulation. And it's just this kind of lack of really understanding and loving where your body is at that time, because no longer does your energy need to go down to the earth. You know, women who've achieved the greatest accomplishments throughout history do so after menopause, because now they're sourcing the energy from the earth up to the heavens. And there's a freedom in that. You've been a mother. You've known how to mother in a, you know, a very individualized sense. But now how do you bring that wisdom out to the world? And what a place of honoring. And in our culture, we diminish it.
Oh, yeah.
And if we, you know, were to able to share that in our sisterhoods, you know, like each stage along the way, in honoring and getting in sync with the rhythm of the natural world, because we're animals. And it's beautiful and magical dynamic that we have that we've unfortunately, you know, lost our connection to. And
I will say, and just another thing, like we were speaking about this, this beautiful thing. And I, growing up, had the worst period symptoms. I would throw up because I would be in so much pain. And once I'm like tearing up thinking about this, because I was so disconnected from that wisdom, my body, you know, the curse of being a woman. And that's right. Ancestral stuff that I'm still working through today. And not work, you know, loving and releasing, because I find it, my mom's generation, you know, she grew up same period, you know, you did. And she was the first woman in her school to push for things like they didn't have any female sports. And, you know, she's very big in the feminist arena. That's why my name is spelled the way that it is, because it's a unisex spelling. And she didn't want anybody to discriminate against me. And I was like, good one, Mom. But they do have to eventually meet me on a job application. I will, you know, then we will realize I'm a woman eventually. But
how is your name spelled?
It's spelled Loren, like Sophia Loren.
Oh.
And I would love to say that's who I'm named after. In my heart, I am. If I talk about an embodied woman, I would picture her, this feminine, like sensual, like there's beautiful quotes about her eating pasta because she loves eating pasta and, you know, not because she wants to be a size zero and just loving life. But the work that I've done, I want to say work because I love the point you bring up of choosing the words, you know, what I've released and what I've embodied, the truth of what it is to be a woman. Mm-hmm. And during this time, my period symptoms have pretty much gone away. I've had a few years ago, a few cycles that were horrible cramps, and I knew that something was up, and I was working through something, and I was just a little disconnected in a few areas. And it's beautiful. It's a blessing. And that was, you know, something, I mean, all women have to have experience with, is every single month, for the most part, when you're menstruating, this beautiful cycle. And for me, tuning into that wisdom, I realize, oh, there's a cycle for everything in life. You know, like how you talk about eating seasonally, the moon cycle, your own moon cycle, your menstrual cycle, the cycle of you know, birth, life, death, and rebirth. You know, there's a cycle for everything. We're not supposed to be go, 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 go all the time. You know, there's this flow of life, and that's beautifully how you incorporate that into your work and how you help empower other people to uncover that truth for themselves.
Well, what a gift.
Yeah,
you are, you know, that to share that wisdom at your age is just so, so important. And we've lost that connection to cycles. We like things to be, you know, stagnant. And yeah, the more that, you know, that our periods are so important, because they're saying, hey, for this time, start to go inward. Let's slow down. let's stop. And you know, so many people, we fought that, you know, like when I was growing up, tampons were like the greatest thing because you could, you know, ignore the fact that you were having a period and, you know, keep going. And it's just so important that we get back to that appreciation and reverence of the cycles that we all move through. And some of us move through more emotional waves. Oh, shut up. And being respectful of that. Okay, I've got to sit with this emotion and let it, you know, ebb and flow. And some of us are more, you know, even emotionally. We're just different. And it's the same way as we need different diets. We need different flavors. We need different experiences to, you know, to nourish us and inform us that, oh, right now I need this, you know? And it's so, I don't know, I get very like excited to, you know, to start to impart that kind of orientation towards our experiences, because we want them to just be a certain way. And to look at, oh, is this an experience? Am I inflamed? Woo, I've got all this inflammation in my gut or my arm or wherever it is. So what does that tell me? Obviously, I've got some anger somewhere that's being repressed. And where is that? Just to become curious rather than, you know, oh God, here comes my period and I know I'm going to get cramps, you know, like bracing for it. And give a new language that we, you know, we share with one another. Mm-hmm. And raise our children. Cause your mom, what a great gift she gave you, you know, yeah. That you're taking the next step and, you know, that we start to hand that down, that we start to have circles of women of all ages together, because we really give that juicy information of our experience that allows us all to become more embodied, you know, and carry those gifts further.
Yeah. And I was just going to say that the embodiment is key. And just with anything you're working through as a woman, as a person, as a human being, embodiment, it, you know, it's not having to heal. It's not having to do the work. It's, you know, all those words of taking responsibility. Embodiment is a word. That's my word for this year. This is kind of a funny side tangent. I was picking a word, and this year I was like, I'm going to choose the word leadership, which is not like, I'm very like feely, soft, feminine personality. I was like, leadership, that's like very masculine, you know, moving forward. And I was just like trying to be very rigid about these things I wanted to change. And I realized, you know, that's great in some areas, but the flip side of that, how about we tune that into embodiment? How do I want to embody that new version, that fuller version of me, rather than like, you have to do it this way? And that's just a pattern that I always have to catch myself. Anyway, so many of us do. But embodiment, yeah, that's my new word now. I think it allows us to realize that truth and that love and that growth is already here and it's always been here.
Well, that was a perfect segue for me, because I'm coming out, hopefully within the next month, yep, of my embodiment journal. Awesome. And it's called Wild Contemplation. And it's all about body sensing. It is a journal to help guide you towards really experiencing your physical, emotional, and spiritual world, and how to infuse that, like we do a you know, tea. We infuse it in the water and we throw away the tea itself, but we have that magic that, you know, sticks in us. And so the journal is, you know, it's a 21 day guide through embodiment. And I'm real excited about it because it kind of just materialized in the past month and grew into a really great kind of how-to, you know, how do I start to shift my perspective? You know, how do I know what I'm hungry for? Am I hungry for a hug or am I hungry for a carrot? You know, how do I start to explore that?
Amazing. And hopefully that'll be out by the time this episode's out. I'll make sure to link it and, you know, the connect links to your site and the journal as well. I just looked at the time and I was like, oh my goodness, we've been on here for an hour and I could probably talk for another three. thank you so much, Esther, for coming on. And I know from every single person listening, thank you for showing up for you and honoring your journey so you can impart that wisdom and empower so many people. We end every single show thanking you because we are so grateful for you showing up for us today. And how may we, the listeners, as an act of gratitude, be of service for you in return today?
Oh, that's really beautiful. And I think knowing that, you know, if you're listening to this, that you take it out, you take yourself outside and you stand with your feet on the ground and you allow yourself to sink into your bones, to sink into your cells and feel that connection, that beautiful gift that you have to be here on this earth and just really feel that love and gratitude that she brings up through your soles of your feet, through your roots, and allow that reciprocity to flow.
Ooh, I'm going to go do that now. It's actually really nice out, so I'm going to literally go outside and do that. So thank you so much, Esther, for coming on the show. It was such a pleasure to speak with you and share beautiful wisdom and stories together.
Thank you. Thank you for doing the work that you do here and getting this out to the world. Beautiful.
You're very welcome.
And remember, open up, surrender, trust, and let your body lead the way.